Welcome to the Sinister Sisters podcast. I'm Felicia.
I'm Lauren.
We're best friends.
And we like spooky stuff.
And we were already literally in mid-conversation about one of the recommendations, so let's just continue the conversation. So Lauren has watched the first episode of The Midnight Club. I watched all of it. So tell us your impression of that first episode, and then I'll tell you like a mini review.
I know. I was just saying to Felicia that I really hope it gets better. Mm-hmm. It was not – I didn't find that the writing was quite as good as I normally felt from Mike Flanagan's stuff. Mm-hmm. And also I think it's a little difficult because it's younger performers who are doing great. But I think like it's just a little bit of a different feeling. And so like I was ready for it to be similar to his other things. And I think now I probably have to like reframe it to be more like, I don't know, Stranger Things territory. I don't know where it goes, but something like that.
Yeah. I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head in a couple ways that it's just really different. Like it's a young adult. It's based on like a book series. And it does. And I felt the same way where it's like that first episode, like I can tell it's Mike Flanagan in some ways. Right. But I didn't feel captured by it or obsessed with it or addicted to it in the same way that I felt with his other series. And I'll say I'm not sure that that feeling gets better. There are a lot of great things that happen in the series and there's cool stuff to look forward to. Like, you should definitely finish it. It's worth watching. No doubt. Like, if anyone else had come out with it, I would be saying it was great. But I feel like the expectation is so high for Mike Flanagan's work. And what it doesn't do for me that most of his other works have is like show me something I've never seen before and kind of blow my mind. And I feel like I didn't really get that moment in this series that I feel like I get in all his other ones. Like I'm thinking of Midnight Mass, like when you finally see what there is to see, it's so spectacular.
Yes.
Like, I feel like you don't really get that kind of moment. But watching Heather Langenkamp is great. And because of, like, the way the show is structured, you get to see her play, like, kind of a lot of different little parts.
Oh, that's fun.
And she is great. And it's really nice to see her, you know, as an adult actor doing a horror thing in a very different, like, a grounded character like this. It's just great. So
I love that.
That's my review.
Amazing.
Keep watching.
I will. I have a couple others. I'm going to save some for next week. But I did see Smile, and I really don't think I talked about it. I'm nervous that I did. But I saw Smile, which I thought was really good. I was very unsettled. I don't know that it's like an amazing movie. Some of the performances are really bad. But the scary thing, like the people smiling, is really unsettling and scary. And did you see the awesome marketing for it? I think we talked about this too.
No, I don't think so.
No? They had all these like, I don't know, like experiential marketing moves where like they would have people at like – I can't remember what big baseball game it was. But they had like people planted just like smiling in the audience.
No.
So that when like the big camera came around. Yeah.
That's so scary. Because there is something about that, that like when people are smiling in a way that's wrong, it's wrong. Yes. Like your brain can tell it's wrong. And it freaks you out.
And the gore is really intense. So like there's a couple like really good kills and really good scenes. And it's kind of similar to – kind of reminded me of like Oculus or – I mean it really reminded me of – what's the STD one?
It Follows.
It Follows. It really reminded me of It Follows, of course, because it's kind of the same concept of like this demon chasing like you sort of. And through. And passing from people to people. Person to person.
Yeah, people to people.
People to people. But there are some really good moments and it really, it just like freaked me out. And I think too, it's because it's so subtle that it is kind of like It Follows where like then after leaving the movie, I was like, is that person smiling and looking at me in a weird way? Like that stuff is freaky. So I would recommend seeing it. It's also fun because it's a, you know, standalone horror movie. It's not a remake. It's not a, you know, all those things, which I am just proud of it for.
That's great. Yeah, yeah. And we do, I mean, we want original horror movies, so that's great. And it kind of came out of nowhere and seemed to has done well, so that's kind of nice too.
Agreed.
Yeah. I don't really have any other recommendations right now. I'll probably watch Halloween Ends this weekend. Though I just saw someone give a terrible review of it.
Oh, no.
On my Instagram. So it's not, I mean, it's just a someone that's a YouTuber that I normally feel like I agree with. So I was like, uh-oh.
I mean, it is a lot to ask, right? A big finale of
a franchise.
A franchise.
Where it's like, which I'm sure it's not anyway, but the idea of ending a franchise. Okay. All right. Let's dive in. So we've talked for a while now.
Maybe we just save more Halloween stuff since we have that Q&A episode next week.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay, so today I'm going to be discussing a topic that I can't believe I haven't done more research about in the past because it's near and dear to my heart. And that is seances.
Yes!
Speaking to the dead. So,
which we will do now.
Which we will right now perform a podcast seance. I wonder if anyone's ever done that.
Would people like that?
I don't know. Or like a seance live stream.
Yes.
Maybe. I feel like that's probably happening already somewhere on the internet.
Maybe when my dad retires, he'll do them again for us.
That's
my dream. Used to do them. I'm like, I want you to do it again.
Yeah, you told me. It was pretty some spectacular theatricals.
Yes, he just went to a like seance convention like a year ago.
No way.
Yes.
There are seance conventions?
Yeah.
I got to start just following your dad around and just go where he goes.
We should do maybe we should do a trip sometime with him. How funny would that be? Yes,
that would be really fun. So if you are not sure what – there's a lot of types of seances, so I'm going to specify a little bit about what I'm talking here today. I'm talking about the seance where people are sitting around a table, like a whole group of people. They turn the lights down low. They light some candles. And one person, typically the medium, is calling upon whatever spirit to talk to the dead. And everyone goes, ooh, ah. And then maybe the table moves. Maybe the lights go out. Maybe something crashes. Something spooky happens. The ones we watch in the movies, you know.
I love it.
Yeah. So the first thing I was really delighted to find is that the seance, as we understand it today, was invented by two teenage girls in their bedroom in 1848 in the United States.
You're kidding.
No. Isn't that crazy? So there is like older forms of the idea of talking to the dead, but in terms of like a seance that feels theatrical in some way, this is the beginning of the modern day seance.
Two teenage girls. I love it.
Two teenage girls. So we have the Fox sisters, which like that's a good name.
Are Should they we change our name?
Should we change our name? So there's actually three of them, but the story is really focused on two here, and that is Maggie and Kate Fox. And they and their additional sister, Leah, kind of not only started seances, but the whole spiritualism movement in the United States that then moved across to Europe. And it all started in their bedroom. So when they were so young, literally, Kate was 11, Maggie was 14. They were in Rochester, New York with their parents, and they in their room one night, and this is like, and I hate to even start it like this because I would like to have some mystique, but I feel like it's best to explain with facts. So they, here's a quote. 1888, Maggie tells the story of how this all happened and how this all started. She says, "When we went to bed at night, we used to tie an apple to a string and move it up and down, causing the apple to bump on the floor. Or we would drop the apple on the floor, making a strange noise every time it would rebound. Mother listened to this for a time. She would not understand it and did not suspect us of being capable of a trick because we were so young." Okay.
This is just the greatest story.
Yes.
I love this, like, tricky little girls.
These tricky little girls. So on March, let's see, it says March 34th. 34th? What? Sorry. Sorry, March 31st.
I was like, is she going to catch it?
No. Yes, thank goodness. My brain is only half mush. 1848. So they're saying there's these, like, mysterious rappings happening in their room. They tell their parents that they think it's a spirit. So one night they call upon the spirit to repeat the sounds they make. So I'm going to snap my fingers. If you can hear me, snap your fingers. And then they would hear a snap. And it was like, oh, God. So then the parents were so, like, freaked out by this, they called all the neighbors over to watch them do this. So then over the next few days, yes, they are building their performance, and they kind of got a code going on for the signal that the spirit could give for yes and no in response to different questions they would ask. Or the snapping or raps could indicate a letter of the alphabet. So we're also looking at, like, the pre Ouija board territory, which I've already decided is going to be a separate episode, because I started looking into that and I was like, this is a whole nother situation. Yeah. Like, I can't do it all. So we will deal with that another day. But so it's kind of the beginning of all that. So they started calling the spirit Mr. Splitfoot, which they thought it was some sort of devil spirit. They were religious. I mean, 1848, I think a lot of people were, but they were Methodists. And then later on, they also claimed that the spirit was actually a man that had been murdered and buried in the cellar of their house. And so they're starting to create these stories, and it gets more and more popular. So they started going to town and are being sent to town to perform these things. And it's getting bigger and bigger. And then eventually it's getting out of control. Okay. So the first time, because there's also the type of seances that we have nowadays where people are on stage, right? And they're, like, talking about someone in the audience, whatever. Mm-hmm. So by 1849, the sisters were doing their what's spiritualist rapping, which is, like, the noise, like that, at the Corinthian Hall in Rochester. And people paid to come see it. So it's getting big.
Now they're getting some cash.
Yeah, now they're getting some cash. And then, so that's when their sister Leah was like, oh, man, like, we can make money off of this. Like, this is about to be a whole big thing. So then they kind of keep doing their thing. They're giving lectures. They're talking about how to talk to the dead, this whole thing. And it basically spirals out of control. And this spiritualism movement gets really big in the U.S., kind of sparking from this. Wow. And there was other things going on at the time. For example, you know, medicine, sickness, death, all that stuff was not as scientifically explained as it is today. So there was a lot at that time where people were still, like, traveling doctors, like, selling serums. Like, we're still, like, in that day and age, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So, like, hoaxes and, like, making profit off of death and sickness, which is still a thing today, by the way. But
yes,
it was harder to prove as fraud. So more and more people believed it, which I think, you know, makes sense.
Right.
Yeah. So, let's come to the end of the Fox sisters here, and then I'm going to move on and just talk more about seances in general. So they did eventually, in 1851, they ended up signing a statement saying that the rapping that they had been doing, they had figured out a way, and this is fascinating to me, of snapping, get this, their toes to make the noise of the rapping, snapping situation. Because their hands were on the table. And so that's why people were like, there's no way This is definitely a spirit. They were snapping with their toes. And then it starts to get a little sad here. So Kate and Maggie, after this, basically both became alcoholics. And started having like a lot of fights within their family and also with like the spiritualists, leaders of that movement. Just not great. And yeah, and then, you know, eventually they died. But so, and then this is also...
But they were big throughout their lives, seemingly?
So basically they were really big for a few years. Mm. But what happened is like what they did sparked this idea of talking to the dead in this way.
Mm-hmm.
Of like calling upon them and using call and response, things like that, to talk to someone that's dead.
Got it. Okay.
That's what kind of got really big. So yeah. So like they confessed just a few years after it happened, but they still were in, even after they confessed, they still like, I guess, believed in a lot of it. Let's see. Yeah. And so if you remember, I did an episode a while ago on parapsychology.
Mm-hmm.
So the Fox sisters also come up a lot in that writing. And yeah, so and talking about like the way in which they tricked people is right. Like the basis for so much of what we see today. Even like if you think about Ouija, Origin of Evil, the mom, the daughter setting up this space to basically trick people into thinking they're psychic.
Yes.
Yeah. It's interesting stuff. So that's the story of them. And then now I'm just going to go through a little bit more about different types of mediumship. So first of all, we have mental mediumship, which is being able to talk to spirits through telepathy, basically. So the medium can hear or see or feel things that other people can't, that they are reading as, you know, what the dead person wants you to hear.
Mm-hmm.
In the seances that we were describing at the very beginning of the episode, that's typically known as a trance medium. So they are the ones sitting at a table and the spirit talks through them. So, and that's what we got, you know, that's what also got really popular. Not that the Fox sisters did that, but that's what became very popular later. So they can kind of put themselves to sleep and then the spirit will talk to that through them. Then we have physical mediumship, which is kind of the more movie stuff of like loud noises, things flying through the room, levitation, ectoplasm coming out of the medium's mouth, things that are very physically theatrical.
Mm-hmm.
Then
ectoplasm would be so gross.
I know, right. And then the tools of the trade. So we have, first of all, the idea of going into a trance or channeling. Then we have spirit boards, Ouija boards that we'll talk about in another episode. And then there's a couple other tools that seemed interesting to me that were happening in the late 19th century, once all this got really big, was these tools people created to better talk with the dead. So one of the is called spirit trumpets, which are like these little horn tubes that they felt like could magnify the whispered voices of spirits so that you could hear them better. Spirit.
Not that you would like put in your ear, right?
I think maybe, actually.
Oh. So I was like, I was trying to, I know. I was like, yeah. I love it.
And even like obviously like today we have like the whatever, you know, Zach Bagans uses and
I know. Well, I was waiting. I was like, are we gonna get to like how far?
Yeah.
How far is she going?
A little bit. So then we also have spirit slates, which is this like chalkboards that then the person is like writing what the spirits are saying. Seance tables, which are very lightweight tables to use in the seance that are very light so that the spirit can move it easily. And then the last one is known as spirit cabinets, which is the strangest one to me, but they're these little closets, portable closets that mediums would get into and be bound inside this closet.
In the closet?
In the closet, so that while they're performing the medium, whatever, they couldn't be affecting any of the tools being used in the room. So it was trying to prevent hoax.
Wow.
But it's freaky.
I mean, that to me is so close to like magicians or like escape artists.
And that's also Houdini comes up in some of this stuff too. So Harry Houdini and some other magicians got really behind exposing fraudulent mediums. And because they knew all the tricks, because they built the tricks.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot more about Harry Houdini. Maybe we should do an episode on him too.
But that'd be fun.
Yeah. But yeah, so he comes up in some of this stuff as well. And that kind of brings us to more modern day, that we have ghost hunters and this idea of trying to speak to the dead through electronics and going into haunted spaces with these electronics versus a group of people around a table. So it's a lot of the stuff is actually similar. It's just like an updated version. And yeah, that's really all I'm going to go into in terms of that. But that's a little brief history of seances for you.
I love it. I just can't get over the Fox sisters. I think they're going to be like my new,
I know. They're so cool. But also
inspiration.
Also, they just lied to everyone. But it's great stuff.
Hey, it's kind of how I feel about that Broadway show that was I think he was a psychic.
Oh, maybe he's a psychic.
I think, but it was, I don't even know if I should out his secrets. We heard through the grapevine like what he was doing behind the scenes. And it was so remarkable that I was still like, even though I'm being tricked, it's still amazing that he's accomplishing this. Wow. And so like,
yeah, I think you told me about this. As a psychic. Yeah. So someone that's like predicting and reading people's minds and doing those kind of things.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, obviously it's so much, in some ways probably easier nowadays with like everybody has social media that shows you so much that you can like find out a lot from just people backstage researching.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But I think that's still like, I mean, the fact that those girls were snapping with their toes, I'm still like, that's amazing.
That's great. Yeah, it's good stuff.
That's a lot of training, I'm sure. So anyway, I always think that stuff. Same with like magicians or, any kind of like, I still want to go do another, I might have to the next time I'm in New Orleans do like a card reading, a palm reading.
Another reading,
something.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah, because I just feel like, even if it's not predicting the future necessarily, which I believe in like some amount of that stuff, but even if it's not that, it's like they're still higher sensing or more observant than me or any of those things. They still
They have some sort of skill set.
Yes.
Yeah. That is cool. That's very cool.
I love it. Well, thank you for sharing that.
No problem. It was fun to research. And now I feel I've got like from researching this, I have like three other things I want to do episodes on. So it was actually very helpful.
Yes, I love that. I think that's amazing. Awesome.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone. That was our Halloween topic for the week. And we will be back at you next week on Halloween with a little Q&A episode. It's going to be cute.
Thank you all for listening. We hope you have some sweet, sweet nightmares.
Bye.